Sitting on the highway was a police officer waiting to catch speeders when along came a car going 22 kilometers an hour. Police thought, man, this is just as dangerous as a speeder, someone going too slow. Turned his lights on and pulled the car over. And as he approached the car, he noticed there were five older ladies in the car, two in the front, three in the back. They were all wide-eyed like they had seen ghosts. When he came up to the driver, she had undone her window, and she said, "Officer, I don't understand why you pulled me over. I was doing the speed limit. What seems to be the problem?" The policeman said, "You should know that driving slow is almost as dangerous as going too fast." "Slower than the speed limit? No, I was going the speed limit. It's exactly 22 kilometers an hour." The officer explained to her that 22 was the highway number, not the speed limit. Said, "Ma'am, I have to ask you if everybody's okay in the car. Nobody said anything all this time." She said, "Oh, they'll be all right in a minute. We just got off Highway 189. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are with us in every part of our lives. You love us and care about all the things that are happening to us. We realize that we can trust you with the deepest part of our being. Come and meet us this morning with the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. My text today is in John 16, from 16 to 33. Ernie will put the text up. You can follow along as I go through the scriptures. Today is Ascension Sunday, where we celebrate and commemorate Jesus leaving earth and ascending back into heaven. Have you ever had somebody you really care about move away? Or you were the one that moved? This can be quite an adjustment to our emotional well-being. I came from a family of six siblings, and so when my oldest sister, who's 12 years older than I am, moved away at 18, it wasn't a dramatic shift for me. But when my sister, who was 3 years older than me, moved away when she was in grade 9, or when I was in grade 9 and my mom separated from my dad for a year, those were traumatic days in my world. Some of the things we just don't have a lot of say in or control over. In the first part of John chapter 16, Jesus is telling his disciples he's going to leave him. His followers, the last 3 years, day in and day out, have all about been being with Jesus. They believe Jesus is the Messiah, but also have expectations of how this is going to play out and their potential roles that they may have going forward. But Jesus leaving isn't in their plans. Just like when we lose someone close to us. But Jesus says it's going to be to their advantage that he goes away, because the advocate, the one who pleads the case of another, the Holy Spirit, will come. And this is what happens on the day of Pentecost, when the wonder and the presence of the Holy Ghost descend on Jesus' followers and they're filled with power and boldness. It's hard to imagine that we are going to be better off when a parting like this happens. We live so much in the present, we're not sure how to calibrate the future. My dad died in 1982, 43 years ago now. Carrie's dad died in 2001, 24 years ago. But in some ways, it feels like it happened yesterday. In John 16, 13, "But when the Spirit comes, he'll guide the disciples into all truth. And he, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit, will glorify Jesus and will glorify the Father." I love it that the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the Comforter. Jesus' disciples were going to need comfort when Jesus departs. We need comfort in so many aspects of our lives and the losses that we go through. Why didn't Jesus just stay? Why does he have to return to the Father? Do you like goodbyes? When my dad died young, my one sister said she didn't get to say goodbye. Since then, my sister leaves every encounter like it's the last time she may see me. She always makes sure she says goodbye. In John 16:16, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, saying, "In a little while, you will see me no longer." The disciples break out into some kind of huddle, discussing among themselves, wondering what on earth Jesus is talking about. What does Jesus mean he's leaving for a little while and going to the Father? Their conversation, panic, trails on for a few verses until John 16:19, where it says, Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him about his leaving. John 16:20, "Very truly, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice, but your pain will turn to joy." At Jesus' death, his disciples are beyond devastated. And yet the world around them seems to celebrate his crucifixion. If you are a follower of the Christ, you will always find yourself swimming against or in a different current than the culture you're surrounded by. As the book of 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Don't be surprised by the fiery trials you're going through, as though something strange was happening to you." It would be like you waking up in the morning and saying, "I'm not experiencing any difficulty right now. This is strange. It's a new experience." The norm for the followers of Jesus is fiery trials. Can I say that again? The norm for the followers of the Christ was fiery trials. So if you're not experiencing trials presently, you might be exiting one or about to enter one. Is this good news or what? We should probably ask why this is the case. I thought by following Jesus, everything was going to become easier. Well, there are some things that have become clear. In embracing God, we begin to discover that we are loved unconditionally. And now we belong a part of God's family. And that we're adopted into this family. But how the kingdom of God is in complete opposition to the kingdom of this world. Jesus says, "Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." The kingdoms of this world operate on selfishness and pretend to be gods of their own making. John 16:22. "You will have pain," Jesus' crucifixion, "but it'll turn to joy." Jesus then uses the imagery of childbirth. When the anguish is over, this miraculous baby is brought into the world. The focus shifts from pain to delight. We need to be reminded that the pain and suffering that we experience in this life won't last forever. Continuing in verse 22. "So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Sometimes our joy meter is strongly impacted by the circumstances we encounter daily. Someone brings you a chocolate bar, it's a great day to be alive. Another time, someone cuts you off in traffic, so you want to follow them home and run over their dog. Please don't hurt the dog. It had no idea what its owner was up to. But what if the joy that we experience comes from the inside and isn't dependent on the most recent circumstance? The followers of Jesus are going to know great sorrow at his crucifixion. But this will be replaced by incredible joy when they see him again after the resurrection. Jesus continues in John 16:22-25 about asking things of the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. There's this wild text in the book of Acts, in Acts 19, which comes after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. So in Acts 19, verses 14-17, it tells the story of seven Jewish brothers who are trying to free people of evil spirits. It says, "In the name of Jesus, who the Apostle Paul proclaims." And the evil spirits respond by saying, we know who Jesus is. We know who Paul is, but who are you? And it says the evil spirits beat these seven guys up, and they went running from the place both wounded and naked. The difference for Jesus' apostles and all of us that identify as Jesus followers, as Christ followers, is that we all know Jesus personally. And so the demons know us too. But we have the authority of Christ, just like Jesus' apostles did, because the same one who raised Jesus from the dead now resides in us. John 16, 26 to 28, Jesus says, from now on, his followers can go to the Heavenly Father directly and ask what they need in Jesus' name. Verse 27 explains why. For the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came from God. In John 14, 9, Jesus says, whoever has seen him, Jesus, has seen the Father. The triune God, Father, Holy Spirit, and Son, in community, working together in our world and in our lives. Remember, the text started with Jesus saying he has to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Previously, the people of God only had access through the priests and the sacrifices of animals. But now they were going to have full access to the Father through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. John 16, 32, the hour is coming when each of you will be scattered and you'll leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. The disciples all fled in fear, as we would have probably done likewise. All the way through Jesus' suffering, crucifixion, and death, the Heavenly Father is still with him. The final verse in this section, verse 33. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have persecution, trials, and sorrows. But take courage, I have conquered, or I have overcome the world. In the same way the Father was with the Son, Jesus is with us in all we encounter in this life. Jesus can give us a peace on the inside when there is chaos and complete uncertainty on the outside. There is an ancient legend about Jesus' ascension into heaven. He's met by the angel Gabriel, asks him, now that your work is finished, what plans have you made to ensure the truth that you brought to earth will be spread throughout the world? Jesus answered, I've called some fishermen and tax collectors to walk along with me as I did with my Father. Yes, I know about them, said Gabriel. But what other plans have you made? Jesus replied, I taught Peter, James, and John about the kingdom. I taught Thomas about faith, and all of them were with me as I healed and preached to multitudes. Gabriel replied, but you know how unreliable this lot is. Surely you must have other plans to make sure your work was not done in vain. Jesus quietly replied to Gabriel, I have no other plans. I'm depending on them. In the same way today, God is depending on us to reflect the glory of his kingdom to all we engage. In our culture, we don't do well with departure talk. We're good with arrivals like babies or upcoming marriages or new cities. But we don't want to talk about death because such topics, with superstition, it might bring it on faster. Our view is often short-term when God's is long-term. If we knew how the story ended, maybe we could breathe again. But we do know how it ends. Or do we? Why did Jesus go back to heaven? The plan right from the beginning, Philippians 2, 6 to 10, it says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. Jesus was God in the flesh, incarnate, who came to do what we could not do about our sin and the evil and death that entered our world and lives. Fleming Rutledge. The human predicament is so dire, it cannot be remedied by any ordinary way. Redemption, buying back, is therefore not cheap. In the death of Jesus, we see God Himself suffering the consequences of our sin. He restored our relationship with God the Father and to each other. He now sends the Holy Spirit so that God resides in each one of us. Jesus going ahead to prepare a place for us. In John 14:3, Jesus says, "When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me." That's kind of comforting, don't you think? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so you always will be with me. Jesus fully accomplished his ministry by glorifying the Father on earth. And now the Father glorifies the Son in heaven. In John 14:2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus gone ahead to prepare a place for you. He's gone ahead to prepare a place for me. I hope this is a comfort to your hearts in the midst of all the challenges and suffering that we face in this life. Let's pray. Jesus, because of your crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, we have complete hope that we too will be resurrected from death to life. The scripture says that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Thank you for bringing us back alive spiritually and walking with us throughout this journey in life. You have prepared a place for us, and with great hope, we look to join you. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
This morning we celebrate the Lord's table supper together. Just a few reminders of how we do communion. I'm going to invite you to come up. There's a table here, stationed there. There'll be gluten-free bread or normal bread, whichever you need. And so you'll come up and take the cup and the bread and sit, and then we'll partake of it together. Usually there's always garbages at the back that you can put your cups in the end. This morning, our focus on the Christ table is Jesus saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." This meal, symbolic meal of bread and juice, is a reminder of his presence among us. In Jesus' day, if you worked a long day and came home and were hungry, or went to school and came home and you were hungry, if there was nothing else in the cupboards, there'd be bread and wine. It was their physical staple that kept them from one day to the next if there was nothing else to eat. In the same way, Jesus is our spiritual staple. Because of his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and present-day reign, we have spiritual life. And so it's because of Jesus intersecting our lives, we've been made alive again. So come and get the elements, and then we'll partake of them together.
To the altar, the fire. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord. Oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he's betrayed, took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Let's partake of the bread together. Jesus, we thank you that you are the bread of life, that you are everything that we need, just as the psalmist has said. You have everything that we need, and so it's to you we turn, and to you we thank, and to you we embrace in every part of our lives. Amen. In the same way, he takes a cup and says, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Whoever drinks it does it in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death." And we say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood for us that washed away all the brokenness, all the sin, all the pain and sickness in our lives. We love you and we trust you. Amen. We're now going to have the ushers come and take our benevolent offering. We do this once a month, and so they'll come now.
Thank you.
I have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. Just a few things. If you want prayer today, there's someone in the back corner that'll pray for you and with you. Things that are coming next Sunday, we're having our grads as part of our celebration. We have 5 grads, and so it's something you don't want to miss. It's great to see what God is doing in each of their lives, and we get to be a part of that. 2 other things. One is our summer jump camp. The registration is open, and it goes from kindergarten to grade 5. And so there are paper registrations you can find, or it's online on the website. As well, we have a big board on the outside that people can buy things that are supplies that the camp's going to need. And so if you want to do that, just take the piece of paper with you, get the supplies, and then when you bring the supplies back, bring the piece of paper with you. One last thing is on the 15th, so 2 Sundays from now, our church picnic is going to happen after church. It's a great thing to invite people to. We encourage you to sign up and say how many are coming or how many you're bringing, so it helps us to decide how many hamburgers and hot dogs and all those things to supply. As you go, go under the sign of the cross knowing He is risen. Yeah. And He's ascended. Mm-hmm. When was the last time somebody gave you a gift? I should mention someone gave me a chocolate bar this last week, and it was the best day ever. Jesus goes as a gift to us so the Holy Spirit would come and reside within us always. Wherever we are, He is present with us. Amen.
Would you like to stand while we close?
I sought the look on.